course that's all in your
lyric.
Oh, brilliant. Don't go away. I'm sorry, I hadn't switched on the mic. I assumed it was already on. Brilliant. So these are today's Bible readings. So shall we... Do you want to come up on the platform, look, so that everybody can see you? Brilliant. Here we are. So face your audience and give them a wave. Say, hello. Here they are. They're not that scary, are they? Oh, they are. Maybe they are. But here we are. So here's some wise signs. Have you found them all? Here we are. So here's the first one. Who would like to read this for me? Oh, brilliant. So do you want to read it out for me? These are verses out of the Bible.
Honour your father, your mother, and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord God is giving you.
Brilliant reading. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Oh, brilliant. And did you see the picture? Did you see the picture? What do you think that's a picture of? Yeah, a car going into the river. And round here, you have to be really careful, especially on the Erith Road, don't you? And there are warning signs. But what might happen if we chose to ignore these warning signs?
You might go into the water.
Yeah, you might go into the river. And in the same way, so this is, in one sense, a commandment, a rule. But is it good or is it bad?
Good.
No, it's good, isn't it? Because he's warning us. He's saying, follow these instructions. So rules can be really, really good. Who else has got one? Oh, do you want to show us, do you want to read what's on yours? Are you happy to read it or do you want me to read it? You want me to read it? Okay, I'll have this one. And this one says, oh, this one, you might not like this one too much, but it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Mm-hmm, yeah, I struggled with that one when I was young. No, honour your parents, honour your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. And that's Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. But once again, do you want to show them the sign? Or what does that sign mean?
So your car goes 30.
Yeah. What if I wanted to do 50?
No.
Why not? Why not? Because it says so on there. But there's another reason. In fact, I live in Willingham, and I was pulling out of the co-op in Willingham, and I was halfway out, and a car only the other day came zooming along, probably doing 50 miles an hour at least. And because there's a bit of a blind bend, I had to brake him ridiculously hard because I was already pulling out, and he had to swerve around me onto the other side of the road. All because he wasn't obeying. He wasn't, honestly. It wasn't me. It was him. He wasn't obeying that. Thankfully, he missed me, and there's nothing coming the other way. But the danger of speeding. So is this a good sign, or is it a... Or is it a bad sign because it's limiting our freedom? Is it good? It's a good sign because it's keeping us safe. So rules can be really good. What about this one? Do you want to read it or shall I read it? Shall I read it? Ha! I don't know. Okay, I'm doing all the read. I don't know. I've got a mic. I've got mic. You can. Do you want to hold mic? That's mic. You don't want to hold mic. Okay. Colossians 3, verse 20. Once again, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I worked out in a... Can you see this sign? What do you think this one might mean? Any ideas? Go on. Yeah, sorry.
That there's a junction?
Yeah, which... If I'm going along there, what do you think I need to do?
Turn out and stop.
I need to stop. I worked out in Beirut in 1989. And there'd been a war there for 17 years. And there were all these road signs everywhere. And guess what? I was in a vehicle going along this side road. You're meant to stop, aren't you? Not in Lebanon. Not in Beirut. He literally came straight out. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're meant to stop. Look, it's give way. He said, hey, this is Beirut. And they had a war for 17 years. We don't follow any of that. But Sally, I've never seen so many accidents on the road. Okay, do you want to show us your one? Yes? Lift it up nice and high. Can I borrow that second? Did you want to read it for me? Say yes, John. Oh. Okay, shall I read it for you? Okay, let's see what it says. Luke 2, verse 51 and 52. Then Jesus, the boy Jesus, went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. So even Jesus obeyed his parents and followed them. Jesus was much cleverer than they were. He created the world. And yet he chose to obey his parents. Isn't that amazing? And what does that Does anybody know what this one means? Yes. Oh, yes. I do that too. I freeze really. I think he knew first. What? Don't go that way. Yes. Is that what you were going to say too? Yeah. It's a one-way street. You're not meant to enter if you see that. Guess what? Once again, in Lebanon, they just went straight down it. You're going down a one-way street. Hey, I'm only going one way. Yes, but you're going the wrong way. Things have changed, by the way. This is going back over 30 years ago. And what's the final one? Do you want to have a look? Yes. Do you want to read it for me? Say yes, John. Yes!
It is your Christmas duty to obey your parents always, for that is what pleases God. Parents, do not entreat your children or they'll become discouraged.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Brilliant. Well done. Brilliant reading. And once again, what do you think that one's warning us about? Yeah, slipping. Look, here it is for those who haven't seen it. Yeah, we need to be so careful. This is warning us that it might be a slippery road. And actually, life can be a slippery road, especially when we're not following the instructions. And I like this verse in particular, because at the moment we've just been picking on the children. But the second part of this verse says, parents, do not irritate your children or they will become discouraged. So in a family, it's getting that balance, isn't it, between loving them, guiding them, but not being so firm on them that they end up, you know, it's getting that balance, which can be really, really difficult. But respect, I think the word is respecting one another. Well, let's give our children a huge round of applause for our Bible reading this morning. If you'd like to sit down, thank you. Thank you very much. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. There's a story in the Bible, a parable, that Jesus told, and it was all about a father with his two sons. And the dad went up to one of his sons and he said, I'll have that in a second, but I'll just tell the story first. That's okay. Thank you. He's doing a grand job because I don't give many instructions, so he's doing a grand job. But basically, the father went to the first son and said, hey, son, I need some help in the vineyard. Can you come and help me in the vineyard? And the first son said, no, I'm far too busy for that. I wonder what he was doing. Maybe he was surfing the net. Maybe he was chatting to his mates online. Maybe he was gaming. Maybe he was doing his homework, of course, or she. No, it's a he. Sorry. But he said, no, I cannot go. I'm way too busy to go. And he chose not to go. And how would you feel if you were the dad? If that was my son, I'd be like, but actually, he didn't seem to say that. He went to the second son. And he said to the second son, son, I need some help in the vineyard. Will you come? Will you come and help me in the vineyard? Yes, dad. Of course, dad. I love you, dad. I respect you, dad. I'll come and do that for you. Of course. Yes. So dad wanders down to the vineyard. But the second son doesn't turn up. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he thought to himself, I don't need to. Somebody else will go. That's not what he's saying. I don't need to do it. But he chose not to go. But then the father was probably quite surprised when he noticed that the son which was coming to help him, because one of his sons did turn up, was the first one who had definitely said, no, I will not go and help you in the vineyard. And yet he was the one who did then turn up. Maybe he had a change of heart. Maybe he felt guilty. I hope he did. Maybe he remembered how it was his father who had to go out to work and earn the money so that he could have the internet. So that he could have this computer. So that he could have all these activities that they go to. And his dad would have to get up really early and often come home late. But maybe he started to think through all that his father really meant to him. And he changed his mind. And he went and he joined his father in the vineyard. And probably had a lovely father-son time together, working together. I used to work with my dad, who was a carpenter. And I absolutely loved it as a teenager. I would be helping him with the jobs, hanging the door, or sawing and hammering. I was always the one holding it. He never quite trusted me. And I was the one with splinters after all of that. I don't know why. But I loved working with my father in that way. Just loved it. Felt really close to him during those times. But the second son, he never showed up. Don't you think that's that? Forgot. He chose not to do it.
I'll put together a little PowerPoint. What can we learn from this story? Thank you. So, I'm struggling to read it from where I am, but let's see. So, the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, verse 22, 28 to 32. What can we learn from these two sons? Can we move on? First one said no, but then he changed his mind. So, what can we learn from the first son? Be careful not to be rude when we speak to people, especially our parents and teachers. You know, so often we snap at people, but try not to be rude. Try not to be rude like that. Then maybe we need to stop and reflect and think think of all these things that these people have done for us. And then, now how can we show, what can we do to show our appreciation for all that they've done for us? And if we've said something and done something bad, it's not too late. This son changed his mind. It's not too late to put things right. Not too late to put things right. Okay, let's move on to the other son. What can we learn from this? Second son said, okay! But then he didn't go. Look at him blazing away there. What can we learn from the second son? Well, don't say one thing and then do another. Mean what you say and follow it through. You've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. That's so true. Don't be lazy and leave everything to others. If everybody did that, nothing would ever get done, would it? So we've all got a role to play. We've all got a role to play. So I wonder which son you're like. Are you the sort of person who says, yes, I'll do it, and then you don't do it? That means you're not trustworthy, you're not reliable, and that's not a good, that's hard. Try and change. So that you are. Or you're even maybe the sort of person who will go, oh, no! And then you think, actually, maybe I should. But what are you like as a person? What sort of son would you, which one would represent you, I wonder? Okay. There's another story in the Bible which I thought was brilliant, and it's about a daughter, but a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. And I put this one to a poem, so I'm going to try and get you to join in this poem. And in this poem, I'm going to pretend to be Naomi, who is now getting, you know, she was a woman. So I'll try not to go too feminine in my approach. But I just want you to see this wonderful relationship between her daughter-in-law called Ruth and Naomi. But this really fits in. There's a little chorus part which goes like this. It's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different to me. I can learn from you, and you... Yes, grown-ups, we can also learn from the children. And you can learn from me. And enjoy being in each other's company. Did you try that with me? It's plain to see. So plain to see. I'm different to you. Why don't I actually point to someone? I'm different to you. You're different to me. I can learn from you. You can learn from me. And enjoy each other's company. It's plain to see. So plain to see. I'm different to you. You're different to me. I can learn from you. And you can learn from me. And enjoy each other's company. So this is Naomi speaking. Bethlehem was our happy home. We had plenty of food to eat, yum yum, with yummy veg and yummy meat, and don't forget the meat. But then, there was a famine, which meant our food was all gone. So my husband and I, with our two boys, knew it was time to move on. So poor Naomi and her family. Everything was great in Bethlehem, their home, but now there's this famine, there's no food. So they're going to have to leave their home in search of food. They're going to become refugees in a new land, which means they're going to look different. They're going to speak a different language. I wonder if they'll be welcome where they go. I wonder how we treat refugees, people, the strength. Because aren't we all different? In fact, it's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different to me. I can learn from you, and you can learn from me, and enjoy each other's company. Well, eventually, we arrived in a new land, and thank goodness, people were kind to us. I still miss Bethlehem, but I didn't want to make a fuss. Then I was proud because my two boys grew into strong and handsome men. They both got married, and I was so happy, I began to forget all about Bethlehem. Gee, thank goodness, they have been welcomed. And now they've made their life in this new land. And the boys have even got married. One married Ruth. But that's good, isn't it? They've been welcomed because we're all different, aren't we? In fact, it's plain to see. So plain to see. I'm different to you. You're different to me. I can learn from you. You can learn from me. And enjoy each other's company. But then my joy turned to sorrow. You see, my husband, both sons, they all die. My daughter-in-laws, they tried to comfort me, and together we all cried. I'm going home, I said to them. I'm going back to Bethlehem. But you're both young, so you go back to your families. You start again. But Ruth said, no. Don't let me go. I want to be with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God too. Yes, Ruth, my precious daughter-in-law, didn't want to see me left alone. So she made the long, long journey to make Bethlehem a home. The story's turned really sad for Naomi. Everything's gone wrong. So she's decided she wants to go home, back to her people. But then, the daughter-in-law has chosen to give up everything because she doesn't want to see her mother-in-law, Naomi, left alone. Isn't that a wonderful daughter-in-law? Wow, you can't beat that. But now, of course, that means Ruth is going to be the stranger in Bethlehem. She's going to be the foreigner. Are they going to welcome her? But then again, we're all different, aren't we? In fact, it's plain to see. So plain to see. I'm different to you. You're different to me. I can learn from you. You can learn from me. And enjoy each other's company. So, yes. I've been doing so well. So Ruth gave up everything and became a stranger in my land. Yes, Ruth did all of this for me. Well, it's just so grand. But now Ruth looked different and spoke a language that no one understood. But the people of Bethlehem admire the courage, and they welcome in love. Let's just do it one more time. It's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different to me. I can learn from you, you can learn from me, and enjoy each other's company. Now, where is it? Here we are. This verse that we've been learning goes on to say, so that you honour your parents, honour your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I struggle with that sometimes, because I've seen people who have really honoured their parents, and for whatever reason they haven't been honoured. But actually, is it talking about years, or is it actually talking about quality of life? You see, I know a family, and it's a very sad situation, really. They've just gone through a divorce, but the mom married this man, and then he needs to work away. And when he get home, rather than going straight home, he goes to the pub. And then when he came home, he would always be a little bit drunk. And of course, the children longed to see their dad. He was not in a good state. So mom would try and show to the children and send them away. Which they resented. They couldn't stand mom for that. How dare you? This is our dad. But dad was not in a good state, really. And then in the morning, they'd come down and dad was okay and he'd give them gifts. But then the children started to resent mom. Speak to her the same way as dad. And it wasn't long before that became a very sad family. They then thought. And now the children have grown up a bit and they see that dad is not that wonderful man before. And so they're all living in misery. Don't you think that's sad? Because of circumstances, lack of respect, and the fact that one person treated somebody else badly. So the whole family are living this sort of life. But I actually think that this verse is talking more about, actually, I had two wonderful parents. And when they were around, I had the most wonderful life with them. I was blessed by God by having two people who built the whole family on the firm foundation of Jesus. Our family were built on that. So they spoke to each other. Obviously, there were some arguments, and they didn't always agree. But they worked together, and it's like these juggling balls. There was a definite life there. They weren't just all separated. There was a life there. And of course, there were difficult times. There were bumpy roads. Oh, very bumpy. So often they fell on their face. Judges, made up. There were tough times, but they formed this foundation built upon Jesus. And we lived in a happy home. And I actually believe that the verses thinking more, it's more about, rather than the length of life, it's the quality of life. The difference between my life as a child and these other children who've been damaged. So try and build your life, your family life, on the firm foundation of Jesus. Respect one another. In the Ruth story, she gave up everything to go with Naomi. And God blessed her for it. She ended up meeting a wonderful man. Isn't that great? God blessed her. So I wonder how much we respect those who are trying to guide us in life, and they don't always get it right. There's not a manual teaching you how to be a parent. So they don't always get it right, but they do love you, and they're trying to guide you in what they think is the best way to go.